Hi, I'm Ben Edlin. I'm the creator of The Tick, and we are watching Couples, an episode of the Primetime series.
Not so runny anymore, are we, Mr.
Here, The Tick has begun to dispense rooftop justice, and there's Arthur. That's pretty much the most kind of involved stunt we ever did with Arthur and his sort of, slippery grasp on how to fly. We would have liked to do a lot of moments like this, the rooftop superhero meetings. This is Ron Perlman as the fiery blaze. Pretty spectacular entrance, actually, for our show. And Patrick Breen playing Friendly Fire.
Well, I think that put out his candle, Friendly.
This is an episode about superhero couples. And, of course, it doesn't really have any real sexual subtext. It's about marriages, because you marry your sidekick and vice versa in a superhero world. So here we have essentially the chance meeting of two married couples with various internal distresses.
Saw your man Friday in trouble. I hope you didn't.
This becomes, you know, the meat of this episode. And this one was really fun to write because we were able to kind of, again, in the early episodes of a series like this, you want to kind of grab this material and sort of look at it as head-on as you are allowed. I felt really good about where these characters got to, where Ron Perlman took this role, and certainly Patrick Breen, truly hilarious fellow, his portrayal of a kind of club kid turned, avenger of crime, I think, worked really well.
We all got work to do, but listen. Why don't we get together sometime?
This is kind of the story of two, abusive marriages kind of running into each other.
Somebody talking to you? Tomorrow night's good for us.
It is?
Tomorrow night, then. Here, my card.
Tick is, of course, very impressed by anyone who has business cards or the least costly trappings of official life.
We have to get guards. I am the wild blue yonder. The front line.
That roof hopping bit, that was one of our big ones too. When you really look at how this series progresses, we have not so much dynamic action, but the one or two bits that really, really worked well still bring warmth to my heart. Look at that apartment. That is the dingiest abode, perhaps, on television, short of the kind of crack den you might visit in a Law and Order episode.
Are you denying the snazzy of that? You know, we gotta get our act together, Chuck.
We again return to Lonely Panda, the superhero hangout. That kind of worked out, the idea of the Tick putting too much Tabasco sauce on his fry. That's the kind of physical comedy that you get one or two shots at in a shooting schedule like the one we had for this show. And you kind of hope for the best and dealt with it in editing when it didn't work.
The way you bicker, the way you eat off each other's plates, the way you...
Batman Wall and Captain Liberty, two fiercely independent solo operating superheroes, can't quite understand the benefits of a couple's bond, such as the one the Tick and Arthur share.
I feel for you.
What do you think? There's something wrong with...
And again, you know, this kind of thing brings out kind of the basic sort of thematic discussions that might take place in any show, whether or not you had two single friends and a married couple talking about the merits of single life or the security of and the stability of marriage. These kind of things, as much as we could play with them, I think they lent a little more depth to what could have been just a full-on farce. I mean, in a way, you can kind of look at this show as the next stage of what Batman in the 60s was doing, because they really went straight for a cartoon portrayal and didn't really develop their characters much at all. And that was like the first step. And here we're maintaining kind of cartoon energy, but trying our best to kind of bring you into real connection with the characters.
Nice.
So we have lonely, dejected Captain Liberty. I mean, this has been done about a billion times in movies, but the character walking down a street, seeing the things that she is not, such as a happy couple. This can be either a good thing or a bad thing. She gets a dog.
I am the man of La Mancha.
Wait a minute. This is one of the best moments ever. The tick wearing a shaving cream beard and dreaming the impossible dream. Look at that beautiful man. This kind of humor is something that whenever we achieved it and it worked, I was really pleased with. Just the tick going, La Mancha, repeatedly to me is like, again, it goes to the heart of what the potential of this show was. That's a pretty damn good shaving cream beard, I must say. He's got a Quixote-esque air about him.
Now, would you look at this?
How many times have I told you about the toothpaste?
I know what toothpaste.
And this also, you know, a lot of the smallness of what they have as, disputes, the cap on the toothpaste dispute to me is like, again, it really plumbing the mundane to kind of create a new portrayal of superheroes. Here is Randolph. He runs the pet shop. He is named after Randolph Hearst, who was one of the writers working with us on The Tick. Randolph Hearst is not a prim, vaguely effeminate man. But we thought it would be funny if we put his name on someone who was.
Make sure you like her personality.
Randolph, in our show here, is looking out for the souls and pursuit of happiness of all his dogs. So he's doing a noble thing. I think we can all agree, certainly by the end of this episode, that Captain Liberty is not really in a position in her life to accept the care of anything more than perhaps a bagel for half a morning. A dog does not work with her lifestyle.
Ma'am, not some living creature. Good day.
Ooh, wow. That's a little bit of CGI. The TikTok diner. There's friendly fire. And this is the double date, the meeting of two married couples trying to foster a couple's relationship, as they do, the natural instinct of paired individuals to pair off with pairs not unlike themselves. And the intent here is to begin to make the audience understand that whatever differences the Tick and Arthur have, the contempt, hostility, and deep-laid resentment that exists between the blaze and the friendly fire, it really outclasses them. They are in a totally different league of problem marriage. Patrick did some really good work, kind of, Patrick Breen, bringing, again, pathos to an absolutely absurd arrangement. Actually, upcoming is a moment where Arthur decides that the emotional havoc being lobbed is too much for him. He's decided to go to the bathroom. This is, you know, again, playing off of kind of crossed gender wires where they, unfortunately, for themselves, are the sort of kind of stereotypical females out on a date where friendly fire just kind of goes with him to preen in the bathroom. Sidekicks always go to the bathroom together. And that was fun to play.
Mostly he yells.
Here you have two man's men talking about the tiny details of their existences, their kind of domestic issues. Of course, Fiery Blaze has, you know, a very kind of forceful point of view on this kind of thing. And the Tick, too, is very suggestible to anyone's strongly held opinions. And so he finds himself kind of swept in to a different mode of coupledom, based on the Fiery Blaze's conviction. But he doesn't literally. Arthur makes more trouble for himself than he wants by honestly grappling with this situation and trying to help Friendly Fire understand that this is a, you know, an abusive deal.
Well,
there's Batman. Well, he's watching porno and kind of essentially being just a sort of a skink in his underwear at home. So we never see these characters out of their, you know, their costumes, or very seldomly. Occasionally you see Arthur in an episode in his civvies. I think in Arthur Interrupted, you see him out of his costume. I think in a couple of other ones, you see him kind of sort of in relaxed gear. But Batman, well, always has that very peculiar mask. We designed that mask kind of as a joke, although it's a very quiet one, where you know, he believes he's too attractive to actually cover any portion of his face with a mask. So he's done what he can to suggest that he is wearing a mask while actually covering up nothing. That's quite in line with who Batman Will is. This is them watching TV quietly in one shot, and it's the kind of small sort of domestic joke that I really enjoyed in The Tick. I always liked getting to that place where you just have two superheroes doing almost nothing.
I took your advice, Arthur. I quit.
Friendly fire ejected from his the couple's arrangement and forced into our couple's life.
There's no talking to the fiery blaze. You know, I left in such a hurry, I didn't think to bring any money for a hotel or anything. Oh, well...
This episode, being called Couples, I mean, we do kind of take a look at all of the relationships we have going in this. You know, there's a sort of competitive issue here between going it alone and actually finding someone and trying to establish a secure, stable relationship. For example, you have Batman Well and Captain Liberty, who together... it's clear, you know, that they have had sort of romantic entanglements with each other in the past, but they are really like that pair of friends you might have who can never quite get fully in or out of each other's beds. They're kind of sort of terminally on and off, and part of that, I think, insulates them from having to really make a commitment to anyone else. They are kind of real people in that respect, although sort of wildly overplayed for humor. Where, you know, The Tick and Arthur, for various reasons, different reasons, I think, but both of them are completely prepared to make, at least in superhero terms, a strong commitment to each other. While Arthur may occasionally balk at the term sidekick, he really does view himself as a crime-fighting partner of The Tick. And The Tick, of course, once he buys an idea, he never brings it in to exchange it. He wears it even if it doesn't fit. He is someone who commits to probably too many ideas.
It's been nearly an hour.
I always liked the synchronization of this thudding club music and The Tick's antenna. He's sort of resonating with the problems of taking on another boarder in their sort of cramped apartment. These are like the kind of things that The Tick's not prepared to deal with, as he evidences here. But, you know, in another episode in The Tick versus Justice, he doesn't know what to call a headache. And here, he doesn't really know what the name is or the phenomenon is of not being comfortable with everybody who's living in your apartment. He doesn't really understand the stresses that tight roommate living create, because he barely understands that there could be any grounds for stress between he and Arthur. That's something that's left to Arthur to make explicit.
Why don't you just go patrol yourself then?
Fine! Maybe I will.
And that's probably the biggest argument that they have in the 9 episodes. It just took place right there, where, you know, they came to a place where The Tick stomped out. That, I think, has only happened once in the live-action series.
He never used to, anyway.
Superheroes, they're all on the same power trip.
As much as they are platonic, they are deeply dependent on each other's support, and that's really where these lines cross, where being a superhero and a sidekick, well, I'm going to have to stop now and just point out that that's a gripping tableau of some very low-rent superhero sidekicks. Friendly fire, finally, you know, trying to pull Arthur into the fold of resentful sidekicks, of which he is certainly one, trying to sort of indoctrinate him into the community of, you know, the second-class citizen of the superhero world. And these are they. This is the sidekick community as expressed in The Tick. And it's kind of sad, really. There's a lot of damaged youth that we kind of just poke fun at here. When you look at the sort of the sidekicks of actual superheroes, you know, the real ones, I mean, they very often come from the circus or from kind of dead parents and tumultuous backgrounds, and they are kind of, without questions, just brought into a life of danger and close cohabitation with a man in tight-fitting leotard. There's a lot of, certainly in classic superhero fiction, unquestioned areas that are fun to play with here. Arthur is older than these guys, and perhaps more mature. They don't see the eye to eye. He is not actually a sidekick, per se, at least by this definition. I like this speech that he gives about what he is not, or what the tick does not do to him, which their sort of superheroes do to them. For example, telling their parents that they are dead and moving them across state lines. Things like that, I think, help kind of define, again, comedic tone for the whole show.
I see you're not the person who should owe the bet, yes.
The dog story in this one, I think it has its merits. It was kind of glanced over because we had only so much time to deal with this, and really Captain Liberty and Batman, well, are kind of, they're secondary characters to the Tick and Arthur, so it's quite difficult to kind of get a compelling and full story in the small amount of time you have with these characters. But that was something we wanted to continue working on over the course of the series. So, you know, we're about to conclude this little spat between Tick and Arthur. Here, this is a wonderful ad-lib on the part of Patrick Warburton.
You smell good.
This wasn't in the script, but he turns to Arthur. He's wonderfully happy to see him. He steps closer to him. He's about to hug him, but can't bring himself to. He steps back and then says, "You smell good." That came out of Patrick's mouth just as we were shooting the scene, so I thought that was really kind of great.
Pretty good, you and me. I think we fill in each other's weak spots. You're bulletproof, for example, and I'm not.
True, and it's your firm grip on reality that keeps our ship on course.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Guess nothing. You're on a first-name basis with Lucidity, little friend. I have to call it Mr. Lucidity, and that's no good in a pinch.
They solve their problems. They don't really have problems. That's part of how this episode works. In fact, that's part of how a lot of half-hour television works. A problem is more or less invented so it can be solved by the end of 22 minutes. And in this case, we are guilty of that crime. But certainly, the fiery blaze and friendly fire have profound problems, which they have decided to ignore. Here he is. He's been running after Arthur for quite some time. I like his hair. He's got a bit of a DA going on or something. Of course, he's a militant sidekick trying to unionize, basically, and fight off the superhero oppressor that he feels Arthur is being subjected to. But of course, he's wrong.
Sidekicks unite!
Sidekicks unite. That doesn't really work for Arthur. They're friends.
You've got the wrong idea about us. The Tick and I. We're a duo.
Yes, and we're more than a duo, Mr. Kling. We're a duocracy.
What?
I smell sweaty, drinky uncle person.
I like this line, this idea of the Tick, his keen superhero senses being triggered by something like, "I smell sweaty, drinky uncle person." And that is the advent, of course, of the fiery blaze. So this is probably the most pronounced depiction of cruelty to animals that we have in the show. A dog that gets horribly disfigured by a hand grenade blast.
Tom, your dog.
Actually, yeah. He by the end of the show, I think that we understand who's alive.
Oh. On the bright side, at least it can't bark with a hand grenade in its mouth.
Blow him out of his collar and drop it onto the street, steam it. Whether or not that's better or worse, I actually am not in a position to say. So I kind of like a lot of the exchange here between Patrick Green and Ron Perlman. I think that Ron did a pretty good job of just being, you know, drunk, sad, and lonely in an episode like Couples. It's only appropriate. This costume was one of the more expensive ones that we commissioned for the show. It just has a lot of kind of sculpted rubber and stuff. It's kind of shocking how fast you can run up quite a tab. But I thought that this was one of our most successful superhero costumes. Just really felt like a real stab at an actual superhero. And that's always when it's best. I think actually the peripheral superheroes in this episode are some of the best ones that we've had.
Look at you.
And there they go. They're going to go back to their dysfunctional relationship, happy for the first 2 days, and then back to the misery that they knew.
Well, Arthur, I think we learned tonight that nobody wears the pants in this family.
Dick and Arthur, however, have learned a lesson from this episode and will improve their relationship. That's why they're the main characters.
You're okay with it.
Sure.
I feel better about everything.
Fire left a tube or something in the bathroom. We'll have to get that back to him.
What I like about Couples is that it's one of those ones where we were able to grab on something that was domestic and fiercely familiar and then just kind of wrap this patina of superhero nonsense around it as like a sort of prototype of what might be a superhero comedy series.
Batman Liberty, Captain Manuel, long time no.
I have been Ben Edlund, and this has been the Tick episode called Couples. I hope you enjoyed it.